morning, and thank you for singing that song. That was Sandy's mom, Jean Lundquist, Jean Lamborn, after she got remarried after Sandy's dad passed away. But she was, okay, can you hear me a little bit better now? All right. Anyway, that song, we were at Sandy's mom right at her deathbed. We had been singing, probably an hour. And we collected to sing that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And that was, during that song is when the Lord took her home to be with the Lord. So very, very special. And last week I had the privilege of being up in Grand Rapids, and I was speaking at Rest Haven, which is the nursing home up there. And I was referencing John chapter 9, which is that portion of scripture where the Lord healed the blind man. And he had been totally blind since his birth. And so anyway, I'm speaking, and I'm talking about that portion of scripture, and one of the women is doing one of these. I'm looking at, and I look over, and here is an individual who had been at Rest Haven for less than a year. He came in because he needed assisted living. He was up in his late 70s, but he was totally blind. And she wanted to make sure that I was aware of, I'm talking about being somebody being totally blind. And for us, whether you got perfect vision or not, a little bit of vision, but to be totally blind since birth, we don't run across that many people that have that. So anyway, after the service, I sat down next to him, and he told me that he was born 100% blind, never saw any light, just pitch black. And but the first thing he's going to see when the Lord takes him home, he's going to see the Lord Jesus. What a difference. Imagine that. Me, I'd say, well, I want to see the sky, I want to see the trees, I want to see my family. The first thing he's going to see is the Lord Jesus. What a special gift. But anyway, keep him in your prayers, and keep Russ Haven in your thoughts too, with the work that's going on there. So anyway, thank you very much for the opportunity to come on Father's Day. I don't necessarily have a pure Father's Day message, but a little bit close to it. But I do have a couple of thoughts that I think you would appreciate, and it's called Dad's Thoughts. Okay? And all of us have dads. Some good, some bad, some in between. But this is a nice thought that I got. Being a great father is like shaving. No matter how good you shave today, you have to do it again tomorrow. Because your kids are always looking at you. Okay. This is a good thing a dad would say. I wouldn't buy anything with Velcro. It's a total ripoff. While having their evening dinner together, a little girl looked up at her father and asked, "Daddy, you're the boss in our family, right?" The father was very pleased to hear it and confidently replied, "Yes, my little princess." The girl then continued, "That's because mommy put you in charge, right?" I never wanted to believe that my dad was stealing from his job as a road worker. But when I got home, all the signs were there. You gotta think about that one. And then, of course, the last one. I asked my dad for his best dad joke, and he said, "You." A little bit of humor, maybe not much humor, but the portion of scripture I would like to refer to today is in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and give you a little bit of background on this portion of Scripture, Acts chapter 20, and we'll start in verse 17. And the way I'd like to bring this into Father's Day, in that the Apostle Paul was finishing up his third missionary journey, and he was traveling with a group of men, of which Luke was one of them, the author of the book of Acts. And while they were traveling, they landed in this sea coastal town called Miletus. So Miletus was only 30 miles away from Ephesus. Now Paul had spent 3 years in Ephesus, teaching, training, living there, working there as a tent maker. And so when he landed in Miletus, I'm not quite sure why he didn't go down to Ephesus, which was only about 30 miles away, but he wanted to stay in the port city. So he sent a message down to the elders in Ephesus for them to come up and see him while he was in Miletus. So Paul had a conference while he was in the port city of Miletus, and he had all the elders, of which there were a lot of them. Ephesus was a big city, anywhere from 40,000 to 80,000 people. A lot of the churches were just home churches. And so there was a large number. Remember, he had spent 3 years going house to house, training, establishing these churches. So he held a conference, and he asked all the individuals from Ephesus to travel up the 30 miles. Most of them, you know, very few of them had chariots or horses, so they walked the distance. And he had a conference. And so when we take a look at this conference that he had, he was very much of a father figure to the elders. And as that father figure, he was able to do some things and say some things that we, not only for those of out here who are elders, but we as fathers, or we as believers, can now apply to our life. So Paul gives this mini sermon to the elders in Acts chapter 17. So let's go ahead and turn there, and I'd like to read maybe about half the chapter. We'll start in verse 17, and then we'll go to the end of the chapter. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the minds of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but I've taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, Savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit to you, God, and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you by this kind of hard work that we must help the weak, remembering the word the Lord Jesus himself said. It is more blessed to give than to receive. When he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. So we see this, I want to say this summary of the conference that Paul held at Miletus for the elders, and he gave this little mini sermon, and we see that it's basically broken up into three parts. The first part's beginning in verse 18. It's a review of Paul's past, his 3 years at Ephesus, and then the next portion is the present situation that they are in. And occurs, the third one is the future responsibility of the Ephesian elders. So those words apply to us today, whether you're an elder, or whether you are a father, or whether you are a believer. Those words are going to be applied for us today. And so we see right off the get-go that Paul tells them that he is a role model to imitate. And you are a huge power of example to everybody around you. Now, I would love, I'm certainly not as bold as Paul, but what a challenge to us. People are looking at you every day. Your kids are looking at you every day. Be the example you need to be. And that's what Paul reflects back on. So while he's working and reflecting back on the 3 years he spent in Ephesus, he is challenging the elders there and to us as believers. Be a good example. You never can underestimate the power of what an example can be. What people see sticks with them a lot more than what they hear. And that's what they're looking at. They are looking at your life. The other theme throughout this entire portion is the key word faithfulness. And we'll get into that a little bit further on as we go. But as Paul opens up this portion here in talking to the Ephesian elders, he's telling them, first of all, that he served the Lord with humility. He served, the key word here, he served as a slave to the Lord. He was a servant to the Lord. And we look at that relationship of humility, and we know pride can destroy a relationship, whether it's husband and wife, whether it's father to son, whether it's workers, whether it's in your own family or your workplace, pride can destroy that relationship. But you know what knits it together and binds it together? It's humility. Humility. And that's what he's telling the elders and he's telling us. In our relationship with the Lord and with each other, we need to be humble. He must increase, and I must decrease. And you know, those are easy words to say. Well, man, they're tough to live. What does the natural man want to do? The natural man wants to be in the forefront. The natural man says, I want it to be about me. I want to increase. But the Lord says, and Paul said to the elders here, no, you need to live your life in humility. Putting aside pride, using humility to be able to knit together and to bring each other together with what the Lord has for us. And so as we see, as Paul is opening up here, Paul also references then what his role was when he was in the city of Ephesus. He had a specific role. And his role was that he was there to establish churches, to teach and to preach. The elders had a specific role. Their role was not the same as Paul's. Their role was to feed the church and to make sure that they kept the evil teachers away from the church. And so this is a rare glimpse that we're able to see in the book of Acts, this presentation and this talk to the elders, and we're able to see 40 years later what the fruit of their work was, because in Revelation chapter 2, the Apostle John talks about the Ephesian elders. So Paul gives the elders this word of encouragement. What their role is to keep out apostasy. And we know in Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, John says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they are apostles and they are not, and hast found them liars. So the Ephesian elders did their job. They did their role. So now you have Paul has a role. The elders have a role. And guess who else has a role? We have a role. We as believers have a role. And it's important to know what our role is. And so when we take a look at all the different gifts that the Lord has given to us, and all the stages of life you go through, whether you're a young person, whether you're just now into the working field, whether you're in college, you know, whether you're mid-career, whether you're retired, how many years you've been retired, the Lord still has a role for you. And so, when I was speaking last week to a group of elderly people at Rest Haven, and there were probably 45 people, with a mix of attentiveness, I want to say, some of them were physically disabled, that's why they're at Rest Haven. Some have some dementia issues, that's why they're at Rest Haven. Some are there because their spouse has an issue and they have to have full-time care, but guess what? The spouse moved into independent or assisted living with them to be with their spouse and live with them. But that group of people have a role. Regardless of your age, regardless of your physical capacity, regardless of your mental capacity, God still has a role for you. And we need to accept that role and accept the role as it changes. So you may have had a special gift when you were younger, but as you get older, you are no longer able to do that. So as your role changes, we need to realize what is God wanting from us. And one of the most important roles we can do, regardless where you are in that entire continuum of your life, is we can pray. Prayer changes things. And the Lord tells us, and the Lord gives us that wonderful gift that we can pray. So, are we fulfilling God's given role for our life of where we are right now? And we know that the Apostle Paul is encouraging the elders to fulfill their role, and he's encouraging the believers to fulfill the role that they have. So we see that Paul started off and he talked about walking the Lord, serving the Lord with all humility. The next thing we see is that Paul was serving the Lord with tears. Paul was deeply empathetic with the believers there. And that's the challenge to the elders, and that's the challenge to us as fathers, and that's the challenge to us as believers. We need to be empathetic. I think we've all sat down with people when we have something that's on our heart and we go to share it, and you get the vibe from the person that you're talking to that they're a million miles away, or they don't have a clue of what you're going through. And so Paul is saying, wait a second, that's not the way it's supposed to be. You need to be empathetic. You need to do, if you haven't been through the situation yourself, and of course we know in 1 Corinthians, the Lord tells us, we are often put into very challenging circumstances. And why? Because you are better able to serve those who someday have to go through that same circumstance themselves. And so Paul served the Lord with tears. He was empathetic. Same way, we need to be empathetic when we are dealing with our kids, when we're dealing with others in this. The third point. Paul tells them to serve the Lord through persecution. Now, he tells them, be prepared for it. In this world, you will have tribulation. And not only do you have to be prepared for it, but the Word tells us we need to rejoice in it. Now, I don't know about you, but when it comes to hard times, I do everything I can to avoid it. I want to run from it. I don't want to embrace it. I don't want to rejoice in it. I want to run from it. And the Apostle Paul here, by example, knows that he is going into Jerusalem. He doesn't know what he's going to face. He knows it's going to be hardship. He knows it's going to be strife. But he doesn't run from it. He realizes that it's going to happen. And he says he's going to rejoice in it. And that's tough. That is tough. I heard a speaker talk about this portion of Scripture, and he said, he wanted to know how many out in the audience had lived under a repressive government, a truly repressive government. And, I would say here in the United States, we may think we might have a little bit of repression, but we really don't have a repression. We do not have one where we are in fear of the government coming in. Or when they come around, they have such power over you that you're just, you freeze. I referred last year when I had a chance to go to Africa and we were in Rwanda, and it was still during the height of the pandemic. Big church. I want to say probably 500 people. everybody, you know, had their mask on, they had social distancing going on, and guess who showed up? The government. Walking up and down the aisles to see if you were wearing your mask and if you were socially distanced. So, and that's mild. When we think about the persecution that's going on in so many countries around the world of what's taking place, truly an oppressive government. And that's what Paul was facing. And he was saying, I know I'm going to have persecution, but you know what? I'm going to be prepared for it, and I'm going to rejoice in it. So we see that he served the Lord with humility. He served the Lord with tears. He served the Lord amongst persecution. And he served the Lord by teaching and evangelizing. And as we take a look at this portion of Scripture, we see several things that come up. And it's things that we can apply in our life. One, he did it in private. He did it one-on-one. You, regardless of what knowledge and skill you have as a believer, can share with other people one-on-one. When you have the opportunity as a dad, a father, a spouse, a friend, you can share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it in private. He also did it in public. Had an opportunity to speak, and he did that. And he did it in depth. It was not this high-level discussion. He did a deep dive into the Scriptures. And that's what we needed. We need a deep dive as we study the Scriptures. We need to be taught. But you know, in order to be taught, guess what we need to be? We need to be teachable. We need to be teachable. And as I transitioned through my career, and I went from a manager and then retired and went into being a consultant, let me tell you, there's a lot of people who don't want to be taught. And I raised my hand on one of them too. But you need to challenge yourself. If you're going to be in an environment where you're going to be taught, you need to open up your heart and be teachable. One of the biggest challenges for me when I went from being a manager where you basically can say, hey, this is what we're going to do, and everybody's got to fall in line to do it, and if they don't, well, then guess what? You're not going to be on the team very long, because I'm going to find team members that want to be part of the team and want to be taught. When you get into a consulting role, guess what? You may run across people that don't want to be teachable. So even though you get hired in and you've got the answers to the test, and I think many of us can say that with our kids. Hey, I've got the answers to the test. I've taken this exam. I know which ones are right and which ones are wrong, and I want to give you the answers to the test. And I think, boy, this is going to be easy. We're going to go in here. We're going to set up this department. We're going to get things going. And man, oh man, I've been down this road before. Here's the answers to the test. And guess what? They don't want to do it. And you're kind of dumbfounded by it. And you're thinking, wait a second. You know? And I look back at that example, which was a very challenging thing. I never thought I would run across that. But as I reflected on it as a father, that's what you struggle with sometimes with your kids. You want to say, wait a second, I got the answers to the test. I made that mistake before. I need you to learn from my mistakes. And you know, that's what the Apostle Paul is telling the Ephesian elders and the believers there that were at the conference. You not only teach, but you need to be teachable yourself. And that's the challenge. That's where pride and sometimes our background comes in and whatever. But we may love to teach, but sometimes we should be more teachable. And then we see that he served the Lord wholeheartedly. He served the Lord wholeheartedly. He had a course to finish. It was not a sprint, it was a marathon. And he did everything he could to make sure he wanted to finish the race and finish well. It was a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus before it was a pastoral relationship. And the big challenge that Paul is telling the elders is that, first of all, you have to take care of yourself before you can take care of others. You may work so hard in taking care of others that you're neglecting what you need to be doing for yourself. And I know a couple of weeks ago at a prayer meeting, I talked about a good friend of mine who was a doctor and fell over and died of a heart attack while he was making the rounds at the hospital. In knowing him, he worked himself to death. Knowing him, he neglected taking care of himself. All the signs that were there that he should have been listening to, he didn't. And so what Paul is telling the elders here, and he's telling us, is while you are serving others, stop and make sure you're taking care of yourself. If you're not in the Word, if you're not studying, if you're not praying, if you're not making Christ preeminent in your life, then you're missing the mark. You need to make it a priority to take care of yourself. And, you know, that can be a tough message to absorb. You get so involved, and you want to be working, and you want to be doing things, and you need to step back, which is what Paul was telling the Ephesian elders here. The first thing he said was, take care of yourself. Then take care of the flock. Because he knows if you don't take care of yourself spiritually, you are not going to be doing a good job of taking care of the flock. Then the last thing that we see here is that he served the Lord as a watchman, teaching the whole counsel of God. He didn't hold back anything. He didn't pick and choose some scriptures and neglect others. And so the challenge to the elders and the challenge for us as believers is to make sure we are accepting and willing to see the whole counsel of God. We need to see his tremendous love that he has on one hand, but on the other hand, we also need to see his judgments. We need to see his call for us to take care of others, but we also need the call for us to take care of ourselves. So we need to be, he wanted to make sure that the elders were watching and teaching the whole counsel of God. So in summary, we could say that Paul was an example. He served the Lord with humility. He served the Lord with tears. He served the Lord amongst persecution. He served the Lord by teaching and evangelizing. He served the Lord wholeheartedly. And he served the Lord as a watchman, teaching the whole counsel of God. It's important for us to know what our role is and to serve the Lord faithfully. And so on Father's Day, that's the message. Be the example you know the Lord wants you to be. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Teach. Instruct. And above all, be empathetic and love. This closes your word. Dear Lord, we thank you for the wonderful opportunity we've had to look into your word. We thank you for these words of Paul to the elders in Ephesus, and not only to the elders in Ephesus, but to us. Help us to apply these truths in our lives, that we may be a worker that certainly does not need to be ashamed. Help us to rightly divide the word. Bless us now as we each head to our own homes. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Come up with another 7 8.